is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Super, super welcome. So glad to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Listen, we got a great lineup for you today. Look, one of the things I love about being me some days is that I get asked the most bizarre questions. And, you know, when I answer people, they're always shocked. I think they expect me to have some kind of grandiose story about where I've come from and where I am. But here's the thing I love about today's show and lineup. Jim Carroll joining me here today. You're going to hear who he is. You're going to hear that because of what we talk about. So it's probably going to be less about the content and more about the reality of what it means to show up absolutely real, like us, for real. And that's why I love doing what I do. You know, for those of us out there, if you know who Jim is, you're going to know one thing. He's got this term, right? The marvel of the mind. Not to be confused with Marvel, just being clear about that. But he could be a Marvel character. I'm pretty sure he might be. And if he's not, they probably should look into that. But when you go through this world and you are considered a mentalist, and we're going to talk about what that means, there's one thing that could set you apart. Believable factor. The thing that says, is this really you? Is this how you do this? And I think that's something he and I have in common when we have been asked perhaps in our lives to show up as something other than who we are. Him, a steel worker in Allentown, PA, one of my favorite places to go to, and then to become one of the most extraordinary minds in the world. You know, when you think about this and you think about those of us that somehow in our lives have had what we call learning challenges. Back in the day, I would have been called slow or I would have been called disabled, but I do have a little learning disability. But when we think about that, how does that have anything to do with our memory, with our emotional intelligence? How does that have to do with anything about who we become in this world? That's what this show is about. It's an invitation for those of you out there that may be down a court. Then you're thinking about, what do I have to sacrifice to be me, to achieve success, to believe in myself? That's why I was so wanting to talk to Jim. Of course, you're going to hear about how phenomenal he is, right? And what he does. But most importantly, I think it's less about that and how he shows up and does it. Jim, it's so great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Wow, you sound so awesome already, Pat. This is amazing.
I got to go back to the question that we started to talk about before the break. And I really do mean this. I wake up some days and I have to really pinch myself, and I have a giant thank you for the universe, for God, for what I believe in, for what I hold dear to me. I have a thank you. And some days I cry about that thank you because I have to remember I really am me, and I'm really here. I want to ask you, what have been the moments in your life, the challenges, so to speak, where perhaps you thought, man, am I really this good? Am I really meant to do this? Is this something that I absolutely passionate, have the courage to step out and be and say and do? What were those moments like, and how'd you get past them, Jim?
Wow, you know, I'm so thankful every single day of my life when I wake up, when I go to sleep at night. Look, there are a lot of people out here that probably had it worse than us even. And I'm just thankful that everything worked out like it is. And I feel like I'm only getting started, Pat. I mean,
me too.
When I worked in, yeah, I'm serious. I feel like it's just the beginning. In other words, I'm here for a reason, to just spread the word. Hey, you can do anything. Just put your mind to it and work a little bit, and you can achieve almost anything you want. I mean, I worked, first of all, when I went to high school in Allentown and middle school and things like that, I was always bullied. I was a big guy that got bullied because mm-hmm. I was a big guy, and it made the bullies look good. So that's why I didn't excel in school. I didn't excel at all in high school, especially. I went from C's down to D's down to F's, and I believe I was the first one to ever get an F minus one. I didn't even graduate with my class in my senior year. I had to go to summer school to get my diploma. So
me too.
What I do now has nothing to do with, like, I was born with this gift. It's a gift that we're all born with. Everybody has this. You just got to seek it out and work hard at it. And I didn't know. And if it wasn't for me getting bullied, and if it wasn't for me working at a steel mill and losing my job and getting laid off, I probably would have never discovered this. I really mean it. Sometimes you have to fail to succeed. It's really bizarre. It's hard to believe that, but failure is a positive thing in my book right now. It never was, you know, in the past, but now it is. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, I worked in this, so I ended up in the steel mill like everybody else in Allentown, like the Billy Joel song, living here in Allentown.
Right.
But that's my life. It's almost like it's my life. So I get down to the steel mill, and you get the toughest, roughest guys. So now I'm amongst tough and rough guys that are 10, 15, 20 years older than me, not just by age, pushing me around. And one day I just, you know, didn't take it anymore, and I fit right in, put it that way, without explaining what I did.
Right.
So life was good, working at the steel mill, met my wife, who wasn't my wife at the time, and we had a baby, and another one was on the way, and just like the Billy Joel song, I lost my job. I'm like, oh, boy, here goes number one, all right? So what do? So I took my wife's Avon account and took all her clients and began to sell her Avon because she was 8 months pregnant. And I don't know if the women felt sorry for me or they liked my card tricks, but I become one of the biggest, this is really bizarre sort of, I became one of the biggest selling Avon, probably the only guy selling it at the time. And so I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. And then they hired me to do a show for 1,000 women. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I can't just do cards. Well, don't worry. Well, we have cameras and this and that. So I see 36-foot screens on the side of me, and I was bigger than life doing these card tricks. And here I am 5,000 shows later. So that became my career, going around the East Coast, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, doing card tricks. And then I started reading books. And I met this guy at a sideshow at the Allentown Fair. His name was the Mighty Atom, Joseph Greenstein. Your listeners could Google him. What an amazing, amazing man. This guy was like in his late 70s, and he's bending these 60-penny nails, like these 6-inch pieces of steel with his bare hands.
No.
And I just got laid off from the steel. I'm like, wow, I would love to do this. And he was a little guy, and he passed the nails on. We looked like goofballs trying to bend these spikes, you know? And so I didn't give up. That was my first thing I wanted to overcome. I wanted to be like this guy. So I bought all these spikes. I had holes in my palms trying to bend these things. And one day I go, oh, my God, Lynn, my wife's name is Lynn, look, and I could do it. And I bent the spike. So that was the inspiration I needed, and that's what set this thing in motion, and I never looked back. So I started performing around the country, now doing card tricks and bending 60-penny nails and sticking my hand in a fox trap. So I became this, like, wacky magic act, and it was really cool. And then what happened was in 1990, I went to sleep. I had a show. I remember I had to go a show the next day in Philadelphia at a college called Villanova University. And I lived in a place called Catasauqua outside of Allentown. And I had this dream, and it was so real. And so the phone rings. I'm like, hello. And the voice goes, Jim, you were right. The Pennsylvania Daily number on December 22nd was 222. And I'm like, what? I'm here. It's a dream. I woke up. I'm like, what? It was so vivid, Pat. I wrote the numbers down, 222, December 22nd, PA daily number, fell back asleep. My wife wakes me up in the morning, and I'm rushed to get ready. I'm running late to leave to go down to Philly, and I didn't even remember the dream. And as she, all of a sudden, she's making the bed. She goes, Jim, what's this? And there's a piece of paper. It said 222, and all of a sudden, the dream clicked. So I'm at Villanova that night, and I held up a thing. It was like November 7th or something. I said, play 222 December 22nd. I had 31 shows, like holiday parties and things like that, between then and December 22nd. And at every show, I'd hold up this thing, play 222, play 222. Believe it or not, on December 22nd, 222 came up. Now, what is that all about? So that, everybody started nicknaming me Psychic Madman. Now, I'm not a psychic and I'm not a madman. The madman came because I worked in a steel mill and I stuck my hand in a box trap and bent spikes. And now everybody thought I was a psychic because I predicted this lottery. So I went around the country as the Psychic Madman. And it's just crazy. And then the story happened. Like one day, life was good. I'm 49 years old at the time. I started having these chest pains. I'm like, what the heck is going on? You know, I'm a big guy at the time. You know, I'm eating a lot of Philly cheesesteaks and, you know, living down there in Allentown. I eat like 40 hot dogs. I was a big eater and I wasn't exercising or anything like that. And so what happened, I go to the doctor and they told me I had, they took me to the cardiologist and they put me through all these tests and they told me I had this thing called cardiomyopathy. Now, I didn't know.
Wow.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I go, what the heck is that? They go, he goes, you got the heartbeat of my 93-year-old grandmother. I'm like, wow. I said, that's not good. I'm only 49. I got four kids at home. I go, any more good news? He goes, yeah, you have a super enlarged heart. Not just an enlarged heart, a super enlarged heart. I said, see, that means I'm a super nice guy. I got a big heart. He goes, no, this is serious. So I went home. I told my wife, that's it. No more eating like I did. So I started changing my diet. But most importantly, I started doing this exercise bike. This was bizarre. I mean, I'm on this bike pedaling away as boring as can be. I mean, the most boring thing in the world. And so I get out my deck of cards and I started looking through them. This is amazing how this happened. This is the beginning, the genesis of my whole career right now, beginning at the age of 49, about to turn 50. Now, remember, I worked in a steel mill, barely made it out of high school. It's not like I was a smart guy by any means, all right? And I start looking through these cards, and I thought, well, this would be really cool. I'm going to try to memorize these 10 cards in a row, like Jack of Diamonds, Two of Clubs, Three of Clubs, Queen of Diamonds, Four. And I would do that. Then I'd memorize more. So what had happened was it kept getting better and better and better. And before you know it, I'm looking down, and I was on the bike for an hour. So it was occupying my time and keeping me from being bored. That's how it all started. I only got into the memory to keep from being bored on the bike. What had happened was, after about a week or two, I started developing these systems in my head of how to memorize the cards. And I thought, well, I'm not going to get off this bike until I could memorize the whole deck of cards. So I'd shuffle them up, and I'd start looking through them. Before you know, and one day I was on for like 2.5 hours and things like that. And then it got down to 2, then it got down to 1.5. Believe it or not, it got down to less than a minute. And I could actually memorize these cards. Because the systems that I was memorizing in my head, it was becoming like natural to look at the cards, and I was seeing patterns of 4, 5, 6, 7. In other words, I was becoming awake, like my brain was becoming awake. I didn't know your brain was capable of stuff like this, all right? Then I thought, well, if I could do this, I'm going to try to memorize all the countries and capitals in the world. So I did the same thing. I made flashcards up. Like I put number 1 to 50, and then on the back, I would put a country, like Uruguay, the capital is Montevideo, Paraguay, Sunset, Azerbaijan, Baku, and I would memorize these. And once again, I would force myself to keep doing this, and I can't stop pedaling this bike, and I can't get off the bike until I memorize 50 countries and capitals. And before you know it, I'm up well over 200, and I think I got up to 233. Now, they change every year. You have new countries and less countries. You know, yeah. And so then I thought, well, I got to get into something else. Listen to this. I started memorizing pi, you know, 304 5 9 2 6 5 3 5 8 9 7 9 2 3 8 4 6. I was doing 100 digits a day. I couldn't get off the bike until, see, you get the idea what I was doing. I was forcing myself to stay on the bike, not knowing that this was exercising my brain at the time and perhaps going to work a miracle, which I'll tell you shortly. So then I started memorizing everything I could get my hands on, Hall of Famers, movies, Oscar winners, this, that. And
then
it was bizarre. It was like, it was fun. I was tapping into energy around me. I was becoming energized.
I got to tell you, I'm listening to you, Jim, and I'm like thinking, I got to get me a bike. That's how much fun I'm thinking. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This guy is having this much fun. But it didn't stop there. It didn't stop there. Yeah.
It's the beginning. Because what happened was I started incorporating a lot of this stuff into my show. Like United States Military Academy, West Point. I've been there 67 times in my career. It's one of my favorite places to perform because when you're there, all 50 states are represented. So people would stand up, sir, give me your zip code. And you go, 12397. I go, hey, is that Schenectady, New York? Oh, my God. And somebody else stands up. And that would be so much fun. So I incorporated it in the show as this mentalist who does these things that are beyond belief. And so what had happened was at the age of 59, I was about to turn 60, and my life insurance, I got this letter, my life insurance was running out, and I had to renew it. And it was like tripled or quadrupled the price. Yeah. It was insane how much they wanted. And I go, what's this all about? They go, what's a cardiomyopathy? You have your health. I go, that was 10 years ago. You know, and they looked at me like I'm crazy. So I actually went to the doctor. Now, I haven't been to a cardiologist or anything for 10 years. Now, that may be dumb. I wouldn't advise people to do that. That was me. I was just weird like that. Yeah, I went to the doctor on a regular basis, but not the car. And so I go to the doctor. I say, hey, could I see the cardiologist? He goes, you having a problem? I go, yeah. I said, I have chest pain, but I really didn't. I wanted to get this test done again. And the guy looks at me, and he goes, wow, he goes, you look younger than you did 10 years ago. And I started telling him the whole story. He remembered me. And he starts giving me the cardio echo. And all of a sudden, I heard, what the, an explicit word. And he goes, I've never seen this before. He goes, I've heard it, but I've never seen it personally. I go, what? He goes, a reversal of an enlarged heart. I go, really?
Oh,
I go, what about
man.
The cardiomyopathy? He goes, your heart's as healthy as mine. You know, whatever you're doing. And my blood pressure was like a 13-year-old boy. It's like, what is going on here? So now it turned me on and got me more excited. I'm like, wow, I did something really cool here, you know? So I started working out even better, like lifting weights again. Here I am about to turn 60, and I start lifting weights. What is going on with my life? So, and then I go, and then so life was really good. I got really energized, and I got to know all these doctors, all these cardiologists, all these brain, like, some of the top neurologists, neuropsychologists in the world. In fact, I'm best friends with a lot of them today. I started doing keynotes on the brain, and I started studying the brain, Pat, because I was a memory guy. So I thought, why not study the brain and try to find out myself what's going on here? Why did this happen? You know, why am I able to retain all this information? And so what had happened was I had a friend, Montel Williams. I was playing poker. At a charity event with Montel Williams. I'm like, oh, my God. This guy's so cool, right? And he sees this big crowd around me because I play a lot of poker for charity, all right? And what I would do is I would do card tricks at the event and play poker. And it's a long story. I mean, I could be on for 10 hours telling you my whole story.
Like, no, you got to stay right here. I'm not even going to go to a break. That's what we're doing today because we got to tell this story. You know, let me just say this one thing, and I want you to continue.
Yeah.
You and I have so many similarities in being knocked down and then getting back. Look, I've been fired from every job I've had, but there's something about 1990, just like you, that changed my life. Now, I'm not an astrologer. I don't know what it is, but I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have the kind of vision that you had or dream, so to speak. Look, I dialed a wrong phone number 15 years ago, and I didn't hang up, and I bought my first hour of airtime. I'm from New York. We hang up on wrong phone numbers. But that's why I want you to tell this story, because we have so many people right now, Jim Carroll's here, for those of you just tuning in, that want to give up, right? That really have lost hope.
No, never.
You and I, our friends, I don't know about your friends, my friends don't ask me when I'm going to retire anymore. They ask me, what are you doing new now? Because I'm like you warming up. So let's keep rolling.
Yeah, well, it's amazing because, wow, I'd love to hear more about this 1990 thing, too, because now you got me thinking, because I have other stories
crazy.
Of people that said that. 1990, what was with that year? It's amazing. So I'm playing poker at it was for the Wahlbergs out outside of Boston. And I do a lot of charity events like that. I was doing charity events on the side. And so I meet Montel, and he's like, who is this guy with this big crowd of people around him? He comes up and he's watching me, and all of a sudden he just loved it. So we had breakfast the next morning. We talk. We become really, really dear friends. And he goes, and he's suffering from MS. You know, he's suffering from a brain disorder as well.
Yep.
So he goes, Jim, he goes, how would you like to come with me down to Walter Reed? I'm like, are you kidding me? My wife was just telling me about that. I think 6 months ago, my wife was telling me, you should go down to Walter Reed. She watched the Oprah show, and Oprah was at Walter Reed helping the military, you know, suffering, you know, from PTSD. Well, it was just amazing. It was such a heartfelt show. And my wife goes, you should go down there. I go, Lynn, you can't just go down to Walter Reed. You have to be invited. You have to, you know.
Right.
Here, what a coincidence. If it is a coincidence, Montel asked, hey, do you want to go down to Walter Reed? So I'm like, yeah, I'm there. So I fly down there, and he paid for all my expenses and everything. What a cool guy he was. And here we are, Walter Reed Medical Center in Bethesda, and I'm doing my thing, doing card tricks for the Wounded Warriors, and what a blast it was. And then we went out afterwards to a steakhouse and stuff like that. 2 weeks later, he calls me again, Jim, you want to go down to Walter Reed? I'm there. Of course I do. And we were doing this on a regular basis, and it was just so cool. And then you have to see it. I mean, you talk about never giving up. These wounded warriors, they'll never, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, my mind's right now filled with a million things to talk about, from Invictus Games to Warrior Games to all this stuff I'm involved
with.
I mean,
let's talk.
Yeah, you never, ever give up. Don't give up ever, never. There's so much out here. And so I went back. Then he took me into a hospital, into an actual hospital room where some of the warriors just came back from Afghanistan and they had wounds. And I'm like, there's this boy. I don't want to mention names or anything. There's this boy sitting there. When I say boy, he could have been my son. You know what I mean? Like in his early 20s, all blown up, white as a ghost, pale as could be, and just staring at the wall. And his mom and dad were in the room, and the nurse. And then Montel's at his bedside, called me over. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can't show him tricks. What am I going to do? So I started talking about a movie I was in. I don't know if you could say it over the air, but I was in a movie. And when I told the boy, say his name was Jason for now. I go, Jason, did you ever see the movie, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
I go, I made a cameo appearance in it. I was the guy that threw cards.
You could say the movie.
Oh, Jackass.
Name.
Jackass number two. Yeah. I don't know if you could. Okay. So I was in Jackass number two. I mean,
I'm
cool
an
movie.
Independent radio host. I own my own
okay.
network.
Yeah. Would you? So I'm throwing cards in the movie at Wee Man, and he's getting shocked on the chair. It's an invention I made. I have all these inventions, and this thing actually gives you shocks on your butt and things like that. So all of a sudden, the kid looks at me, and he smiled. And I'm like, so wow, I think I reached him. So we start talking, and he starts saying, you mean you know Bam and Steve-O? And I go, yeah, I was in the movie with them. I said, I was the guy that threw the cars, and then I brought my bear traps in the movie. And we started having a conversation. So I found his it. I reached him. So I started showing him tricks. And, he was just lit up. And finally I said, now, I'm going to bring your mom over here. When she comes over here, just say Queen of Hearts. Now, Pat, I have the ability to have anybody pick a card that I want. I can force cards on people. So I go to the mom. I say, Mom, take a card. She goes, I can't. I go, take a card. She takes a card. And then I go, Jason, what's your mom's card? He goes, is it the Queen of Hearts? That was it, Niagara Falls. It was just amazing. And then that's when I knew, hey, there's more to this than just doing magic tricks. And now I met a woman down there. Her name was Elaine Rogers. She's the president and CEO of USO Metro for like 42 years. I mean, since Bob Hope. And we became such dear, 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 dear friends. And she would bring me down there every month, and I would do classes helping the warriors with traumatic brain injury and PTSD. And that's how everything began. And then I was asked to go on tours over to Afghanistan, Qatar, Italy. You're talking a guy, I'm in my 60s at the time, and I've never been out of the United States. And now I'm finding myself in Afghanistan, Turkey, Qatar. This was so cool. And I'm traveling with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Joe Dunford. You talk about that. He is the coolest guy in the world, the nicest people. I met such nice people And so that was like my reward. I'm here I am, and my reward is meeting all these fantastic people in my life. Here's a guy that worked in a steel mill, never got barely made out of high school, and now I'm flying around the country with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Joe Dunford, Scarlett Johansson, Chris Evans, you know, Captain America, you know what I mean? It's like, it's like I'm in la-la land. Like, what am I doing on this plane? You know, I'm not supposed to be here. And I was the guy that was like the MC for the show. And it's just what a life. You never, ever give up, because this could anything could happen. You don't know unless you go for it, and you got to work at it. Like your brain, your memory. I teach memory classes now. I call it brain boot camps and stuff like that. And I talk all around. I just wrote a book. It's going to be coming out on September 25th. It's called Ultimate Memory Magic. It's my first real book. You know what I mean? I have self-published this.
Yeah, tell me about this book, because I'm really glad you're doing this. Couple of reasons. You know, we are in, and I think you can relate to this. We're at a point now where people are trying to integrate, absorb, process more information than the human brain has ever been asked to process. And they have no tools whatsoever. And, you know, the result of this, right, you know, if we want to talk about it, is it's not the result is that the brain shrivels up and turns into a grape. But the result is psychological now. Right. Because what we're finding is that people are not able to process things in their lives. And so what's happening is, and you know this, right, increase in depression, increase in doubt and fear. And people ask me all the time, they say, Pat, look, you went to school for this. What do you think is happening with people? I said, think about it. If you had a 3-year-old child, and you decided to bombard that child with more information and stimulation than that child's brain at that time could ever possibly handle, without any tools, without any way to really absorb it in an effective way, what do you think would happen to that child? How many temper tantrums do you think you possibly could stand? And that's why I wanted you to talk about this and talk about the next book, because we have got to find a way for all of us to be able to not simply adapt and simulate, but excel, Jim. Excel.
Exactly.
Don't you
exactly.
think? Right?
No, without a doubt. And I'm not gonna sit here and say this book will get you there. No, the book won't get you there. They have to get themselves there. The book is just a little guide to help and charge them up a little bit, but you have to do it yourself. This book that I wrote, Ultimate Memory Magic, and Dr. Daniel Amen, he's a dear friend of mine. He has Amen clinics all over. I met him, and he did the foreword for the book. And we have a course together called Jim Carroll's Master Memory Course, and it's Daniel and myself talking in front of it. And so I met a lot of brilliant people. And so what I do is, like, you meet, like, Dr. Daniel Amen. You meet Dr. Tom DeGraw, and he's the director of the NICO Center down at Walter Reed. You meet Calixto Machado from Cuba. You meet Dr. Jim Hart from Sedona, Arizona. And what do? I take all the positive that each one of these people have, and I take it. See, because I believe everybody has positive abilities in them. I don't look at the negative in people. Too many people today look at the negative in people.
I know.
You can't do that. You got to look at the positive. And that's why I came up with this thing. I call it ESPN, all right? I said ESPN is the key to a better, healthier brain life and life overall. And E is for exercise, not only physical, but the main thing is mental exercise, all right, exercising your brain. The S in ESPN is for sleep. I know everybody says, well, I don't need sleep. I could go with 2 hours of sleep. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to tell you what. You should be getting 7 hours of sleep every day, 7 to 8 hours. And I'll explain all of these in a second. Then the P is the most important letter of all. That's for positive, positive, positive. I can't express that enough. Like positive thought, positive attitude, even positive memories. If you're depressed and down, look at a photo album from the past, family photos when you're, you know, positive memories could just like, it just like makes you smile. It does something to you. Positive belief is the main thing. You got to believe.
You got to
trust me. This is real. And then the N, Eamon likes when I say the N, because it's about nutrition. Now, I'm not talking about dieting and all this stuff. You know, everybody's so different. Everybody has a different brain, a different body. Mm-hmm. You do what works for you. Like, I found this thing that works for me, It's a thing called epicatechin, and your listeners could Google that, epicatechin. And what it does is it dilates your blood vessels going to your heart, increases oxygen flow to your brain. I mean, I did a lot of research on all of this stuff because that's all I do now. I study the brain. And what I found about this epicatechin, it enhances these things called neurotransmitters that we all have in our brain, all right? Neurotransmitters, your brain is like a pharmacy, all right? You have GABA, gamma aminobutyric acid. It's like your brain's own Valium. You got dopamine. You got serotonin. Your brain is a pharmacy, and I never knew this stuff, all right? In fact, my next book, Kai, you're going to love it, Sex, Neurotransmitters, and Rock and Roll. That's going to be my next book. So anyway...
I got the first and the third from, you know, like my Woodstock years, but I'm going to have to read the book for the rest of that. But what did you discover about this? Because, you know, see, I love that you and I are talking about this for two reasons. First of all, I want to thank you for sharing this. I really do. I know that you are a busy guy. I know you travel the world, and for you to take this time and share your story of strength and hope is really important. The other thing is, I often think that I'm in gaga land because people tell me that, look, you can't be called Dr. Positivity. That's just not sexy in this world. So thank you for reinforcing that, because, I mean, I don't want to do angry talk radio, Jim.
No,
I just don't. But this book, are you going to be sharing? And the reason I'm asking is we have to help people. We really have to help them optimize this 7, 8, or 9 pound thing they have on their shoulders. We really do, Jim.
You know, and that's what this is all about. It talks a little. I don't tell the story about me to brag. I tell it to motivate and inspire, that anybody mm-hmm. could do it. And so the book has a little bit about the story of things of kind of what we just touched on, but then mm-hmm. it really gets into the details, how I did what I did and how everybody could do what I do. Like, anybody at any age can change their brain and change their life. Anyone. But you have to be, you got the key word there, positive. I know people heard that, be positive. What does that mean? No, it's just be positive. I mean, nobody can be as negative as I was after getting laid off from Bethlehem Steel.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what I mean? I used to flip the finger when people cut me off. That's negative. You can't always want to fight somebody and flip fingers. And it's the sooner I got out of that mentality, the better I was getting. Like, I try to, every day I wake up, I try to be less negative every day. That's my goal. I mean, it doesn't mm-hmm. always work, don't get me wrong, but everybody has problems and issues, but you got to try to. If you could overcome these things, resilience is the word. I love that word, resilience. I mean, I've done it twice in my life, and I'm working on my third right now, resilience, because I want to prove to seniors that, hey, you're not old at 66. Come on, man. I feel like I'm just getting started. I feel like a kid.
Yeah.
So, and here's the cool thing, Pat. The guy that inspired me way back when I got laid off at the steel mill, the Mighty Atom, I'm 66 years old. And I am now bending the 60-penny nail. I became that. It's crazy. But I would never do – nobody could do that unless you put your mind to it. You got to believe in yourself and be positive. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. Now, here's something else, too. Listen to this. You talk about positive belief, and you talk about being able to manifest things with your brain, being positive. My whole memory system. When people get the book Ultimate Memory Magic, we can't talk. I could talk for 20 hours and won't even get halfway through. It's based on a system that I developed. Okay, it's an anchor system based on celebrities. Here's what happened: when I was mm-hmm. turning 50 and on that bike, I wanted to retain a lot of this information because it was really cool. So I came up with this system. Like, I took out my People magazine. Like, number one was Denzel Washington. And in other words, I could put the celebrities anywhere I wanted. So I put Denzel Washington at number one because Washington was the first president, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt was number two. So I put Brad Pitt at number two because B for Brad, second letter of the alphabet, two syllables, Brad Pitt, two T's.
Yeah.
And you get the idea. And I made this whole system of celebrities from 1 to 100, the most famous people, during that time when I was about to turn 50. Like Michael Jordan, I put him in number 23. How easy is that to remember? So the first thing I wanted to do was remember these 100 celebrities to 1 to 100 as easy as possible. That became my anchor system. From there, everything I wanted to learn, I would put to these celebrities, put it in movies. I can't get into it right now. It's so amazing how easy it is to retain information. And what happens is the fringe benefit to exercising your brain every day is, first of all, like a lot of these neurological disorders, all right, your brain mass shrinks.
Yes.
Your cognitive abilities diminish, and your brain age speeds up. From doing this since the age of 50, I am now 66, my brain age has not only slowed up, it reversed. Mm-hmm. I've been tested 3 times. I have the brain age right now of a 39-year-old man. Do you think that just comes to you from taking a pill or something? No, you have to work at it. The brain mass is like 4 times as thick as a normal person, and the cognitive abilities obviously are through the roof. So I got the complete end, opposite end of the spectrum of most neural. So there's something here for everybody. Look at exercising your brain. And when I say exercise your brain, I mean really push it. I mean you exercise your brain to memorize something new. Your brain has to see something new. And then what happens is it stimulates this thing called neurogenesis and neuroplasticity. All right? And that's good for you. Trust me. And so what happens is, like, even something as simple as learn a new word every day, read a book, you know, stuff like that. If you have to exercise your brain, even like working crossword puzzles and playing Scrabble, even stuff like that helps you. But I really push myself because I found out now I speak at MIT a lot, and I have such good friends with Robert Ajami. He's one of the top scientists. I mean, I learn from other people in conversations. I built this network up of people, and like I said about 10 minutes ago, I take all the best stuff from everybody, the best of the best, and I just keep it in my head, and I try to figure things out. It's amazing what you're capable of, and that's my fun. I make it fun, but the energy is through the roof. Like, if you would see me perform, this energy, it's like you're 10 years old. Where does this energy come from? I still didn't find that out. It has something to do with your brain. That same energy, hey, maybe that helped my heart. Who knows? But yeah. It's all about,
you got to be positive. Think it's all, Jim? Don't you think, you know, when I'm listening to you, here's what I'm really struck by. And boy, this is a powerful message for people listening. This is what I love about this. When I think about what you just shared, I just want to let everybody know, if you want to find out more about Jim, it's really easy to do. Go to Jim's website, Jim Carroll, and that's Carroll with a K, Carroll.com. You're going to be able to look at his programs, find out more about him, get a hold of his books. What I listened to you, and that's why I wanted you to share this from beginning to where we are, because you did this over a period of time, one step at a time, and believing in yourself one step at a time. And so what you did is you built up a form of what I call, you know, I call it, you know, this momentum a minute. That's what I call it. You know, momentum a minute for me is when the moment I'm in now has more momentum than the last moment for me to thrive in life. And the reason I had to do that is because I was like you. I was failing left and right. My health failed just like yours. I wasn't supposed to be walking. But I think the message is what you said about believing. I had to believe, just like you, that whatever the doctors told me, I had to believe that there was a solution. And honestly, I found my naturopath because the angel lady told me to go look something up on the internet. But belief and belief in yourself and one's ability, we're not teaching this anymore in school. You know that, right?
No, positive belief is the key to everything. It's just let me tell you something. First of all, just having that positive belief and that positive attitude, it enhances everything. It enables you to think better. It boosts creativity, your confidence, your self-esteem, all right? It impacts your stress. Just the positive. It does all of that. Now you do all the rest of the stuff. My gosh, it's amazing what you can do. It's just, you know, I can't express it enough. I mean, this is just so important, and I've seen the results with so many people. I've seen the results with a couple kids that had Asperger's. I've seen the results with a lot of the wounded warriors. Like this one wounded warrior, he comes in, he had the positive belief. I taught him how to count cards, okay, just as a fun thing, because his doctor told him there was no hope for his memory. And I didn't say nothing to him about that. I just said, come on, take the course. He took the course. This is a true story. I teach him how to count cards. Now, I shuffled the cards, removed the card, put a timer there. He had 1 minute to look through that deck and tell me what card's missing. 44 seconds later, Pat, he goes, Mr. Carroll, that's the Two of Hearts. I flip it over, it's the Two of Hearts. Nobody's going to tell me there's no hope for somebody's memory. But it's all positive belief, and just you got to have the passion. And that's what I do. I try to install passion in people. You have to become passionate about this. You have to want it really bad. I mean, this, no matter how bad you think it is out here, there's always somebody worse off than you, trust me, number one. Yeah. And you have to just get yourself out of that one step at a time. Like you did it, you call it 1 minute. I mine is one person at a time. I help one person.
Yeah.
If you could help one person every day, you know, maybe the next day you help two, you know. And that's what this is all about. It's really,
I agree.
Man, I am so happy I met you. I mean, forget about the radio show and everything else. You're
what
I'm looking for, people like you.
what do you mean? Are we
it's almost like we're just having a phone conversation.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, look, here's the thing, too, and I know we've got a short period of time. I hope you'll come back. You know, the thing I love about this is because I agree. And, you know, when I told you a little bit about dialing the wrong phone number, I had created a business card. I was at the most depressed in my life I could be. I had graduated from a doctoral program that most people said I shouldn't have gotten into. It took me 14 years to get an undergraduate degree. I worked for the phone company from the mailroom up. You know, after I lost my job, that 1990 thing, Jim, I looked in the mirror and I had become unrecognizable to myself. I had worked my way up for money and promotions. And one day I just looked in the mirror and I became a rebel. I walked in and I told my boss, I'm just not implementing a downsizing program. But here's what I love about what we're talking about. You know what I had on the back of a business card? Because I started this crust busting thing because I was so crusted over. Everybody told me, Pat, girl, you just graduated a doctoral program. Your research won awards. You know, you did postdoctorate. You're being offered these big consulting jobs. But they didn't understand what I studied, Jim. I studied the consequences of broken promises for 10 years, 1,200 pages of interview notes about betrayal. See, I didn't have what I have now and what you're talking about. And I really believe that your message and your idea about warming up, you're on the verge of doing something really, really magnificent in the world. And that's what I love. And I'm so glad you're sharing it. Because in the end, on the back of that business card, I wrote one thing. I wanted to reach 1 million people and help them live life full out. So I dial a wrong phone number into an internet-only show in 2003, right? I pull out a credit card and I pay close to $10,000 for 13 weeks. And I haven't looked back. But you see, we haven't changed any of that. I am like you. I every day try to figure out how to help more people. Isn't that what you're doing?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
Important.
Every day you're reinventing something to try to reach more and more people to help more and more people.
Yeah, from senior resorts to military bases to first responder volunteer organizations. I was never about money. I didn't care. I just wanted to go do my thing. I had this ability that came from somewhere and I had to share it. You know what I mean? I didn't,
yeah.
I mean, come on, where does this come from? I mean, what if every day, think about this a second.
Yeah.
What if every day, everybody in the audience, your audience, this is to them. What if every day your brain kept getting stronger and so powerful that you began to do things you once thought impossible. That is what this is all about. This is the capabilities of your brain. Your brain is magnificent. That thing on your head, all your answers are inside your own head and with the people around your life. And the more people you get around your life, the bigger the connection base, the more likely you're going to find the answers. Because it's all about socializing with people, having friends, but positive friends.
Yeah.
It has to be positive. It has to be good, positive friends. That word positive, I can't emphasize that. That word is just so misunderstood. Everybody throws that word around, positive, positive, positive. No, I'm really saying positive.
Yeah.
Capital P-O-S. You know, you have to be positive. And anybody, we all have that capability. And everybody has their adversities and ups and downs in life. And everybody makes mistakes. It's the person that can overcome those mistakes. See, the mistakes are cool. I learned by I learned by bad people in my life. You know what I mean? You learn from it. It's like having a garden and you just pull the weeds and let the flowers grow. In other words, the good people in your life become closer and you get rid of. That's part of life. Everybody's going to meet bad people, con people, and stuff like that. But you got to just overcome it. You got to just keep, never give up. You got to keep trying. I'm 66 and I swear I am in the best physical shape of my life. Yeah. Mentally, I don't even know where this is heading. I feel like I'm just getting started, but I make it happen. I make it happen. Every morning I wake up, I make it happen. Every night before I go to bed, I do this thing I call memitation, memitation. And it's just like meditation, except it's my own little thing where I practiced something I memorized. Like one day, I was in such a bad mood. I felt the negative energy spiraling down. And so I'm like in my head, I'm going Delaware, Dover, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Georgia, Atlanta. I'm going through all 50 states of the Union in order with the capitals. And then I go, Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe. I did all the press. Before you know it, I was out of a bad mood. Didn't even know what I was mad about. I mean, I call that meditation. I mean, it says you got to just take a step back, take a breath. Relax, think positive. I'm telling you, it's ESPN. That's what life's about. ESPN.
You know,
I'm telling
you. About this. And, you know, I'll tell you what, we're not going to give up on this because, and you've just nailed it. It's not just about the idea of positivity, it's the belief. You know, I love that movie, what is it called, with Bradley Cooper, right? You know, Excelsior, right? I love that. And he talks about positivity. But one of the things you said is so important, and this is really key for everybody. It really is an invitation to make a decision, a conscious decision and commitment that you are going to invite positivity in your life. Even if you have to start, like you just said, Jim, even if you have to start, you know, at one step at a time, just catch yourself, you know, and catch yourself at that point. And some of the things you're sharing, people can learn from your books, right? I mean, you teach this, you've written about things like this in your books, and people can find them on your website and Amazon. But here's my question.
BarnesandNoble.com. What it basically is, Pat, here's my subtitle on. I'm looking at it right now. The Transformative Program for Sharper Memory, mm-hmm. Mental Clarity, and Greater Focus at Any Age. And I emphasize any. It doesn't matter how old you are, but every single person in your listening audience right now, they're all special. Everybody is special, uniquely unique to everyone else, and you all have this ability, and everybody just has to find it. And it comes, like you said, believing in yourself. You got to believe in yourself, positive belief. And I'm going to tell you, you can accomplish things one day at a time. And before you know it, wow, I never thought in a million years I can do what I'm doing right now. Never. Are you kidding me? And one last thing.
Yeah.
The 100 celebrities that I use in my memory thing at the age of 50, as of today, I've met and become friends with 93 of them. What the heck is that? What is that?
Yeah.
You tell me, because I have no idea what's happening.
I'll tell you what it is. It's called resilience.
Man, I'll tell
it's
you.
Resilience. I mean, come on. You and I doing a show today with the best listening audience in the world, reaching over 140 countries right now. We distribute our network to over 100 media outlets. You, from where you came from, I stuttered. You talk about getting bullied. You know, I stuttered. But you see that stuttering thing that happened to me when I was a kid? It flipped around as I got older, because when you stutter, you learn how to listen carefully, because people ask you anywhere from 8 to 10 questions before you answer, because they think you don't hear them. So they change the question because it takes you so long to answer, right? So what I learned as a kid was every time I went to answer a question, there were 8 to 10 different questions. And so my mind was processing 8 to 10 different questions. So when I answered, I had synthesized 8 questions into my answer. Now, who knew stuttering would give me that?
That's amazing. I can't wait till we get to meet. We got to meet in person. You are so awesome. I mean, it's like, where have you been? Jeez, this is great.
I've been like you. I've been working my you know what off to deliver a positive talk radio network to the world. And I got to tell you,
that's so nice.
I'm like you, man. I'm just warming up. And by the way, you know, like you're on the bike and you're doing that thing. I have a sport like that I do. It saved my life. Table tennis.
I love pink pong. Oh, my God. Dr. Daniel Amy kicked my butt. I thought I was the best pink pong player until I played him. And you're table tennis, too. This is insane.
Oh, my God. Let's get Dr. Dan. Let's have, like, a tournament. I'm ready.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Hey, ping pong is good for your brain, too. It makes you focus. Hey, anything that's good for your brain. And I was the shyest, most backward person in the world. And look, I overcome it. Now I speak in front of thousands of people in the audience. Just let it go. I mean, anybody's free to contact me. Email me. I'll help anybody. But get the book, Ultimate Memory Magic. It'll give you a start right off the bat when it comes out. And my gosh, keep doing what you're doing, Pat. I love what you're doing.
That is
so awesome.
Let's make sure everybody here, look, go to Jim Carroll's website, Jim Carroll, K-A-R-O-L, .com. And one of the things I want to say to everybody that's listening, I know you're listening. You've got children. You may have grandchildren. You know that they are in a world right now where they are faced with more information than they could process. You're already worrying about how this child or grandchild is going to get into college. And I'm saying to you, please don't worry. Get a hold of Jim. Look at his programs. Look at what he's doing to help people. And this is really about that story of perseverance, positivity, and resilience. Jim, thank you for today. I have one last question for you.
Sure.
I have so many more, but I want to thank you so much.
I didn't even dent the surface of what I wanted to talk about. This is amazing. We just got into it, and it's crazy.
I know. It's great, though, right? look, a lot of things we could say, but I want to ask you your personal message for people today. You know, what do you want to leave folks with today?
Well, once again, that word I said 100 times, positive. Believe in yourself. Be positive. Believe. Never give up. I mean, if it's out there, anything, talk to people. The more people you can surround yourself with, like people that are positive, and then you have, like when I even I get down and stuff, and I have people to bounce it off of and talk to. You need that in your life. You need people around. You can't be isolated by yourself and keep your problems all locked up inside. You got to share them with somebody. And this is so important. Like right now, I have you, Pat. I feel like I can call you. Hey, Pat, I'm going through a little
anytime. Situation.
And that's exactly what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Don't give up. There's always somebody here that went through the same thing and rebounded from it. And you can do the same thing. And that's what this is all about. And,
it is.
And listen to Pat's radio show. I'm going to start listening to your show now. This is fantastic. I can't believe this that we had this conversation. I can't believe I found somebody that thinks like me, like this, and that, and went through the same stuff. It's crazy that this is crazy. So,
it's great because, Jim, I think sometimes we think we're alone in this journey, and I'm so thrilled and honored to meet you. And I'm going to make sure, I think we've got your contact information. I'm going to make sure we get together and get Dr. Dan. We're going to play some ping pong. I'll send you a picture of me getting my gold medal here in Washington State.
That's so fantastic.
Oh, man.
Hey, goodbye to all your listening audience. Yeah. You got an amazing, amazing host here. I mean, that is so amazing that people have you to tune into. That's
Thank
so
you.
Awesome of you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, they are what keeps me energized and moving. They even now are coming to my ping pong tournaments, Jim.
You probably kicked my butt in ping pong. And I thought I was good until I met Dr. Amen. Oh, my gosh, he kicked my butt. I mean, I wasn't even close. Yeah. 21-4, 21-3. I mean, but it's no fair. He had his cat. He had his pet cat jumping up on the table every once in a while, interfering.
Oh, my God, I can't wait. We're going to have to get him.
Good defensive move right there. Good defensive move.
Oh, my God. Jim Carroll, everybody. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.